You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you and thank you again for your word, for your grace. Thank you. Help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of John, the Gospel of John and chapter 15, we're in the upper room, and we have proceeded to where the Lord's standing up. They're going to go out the door to the garden. And then 15, 16, and 17 are all direct statements by God, no discussion, no questions, straight talk. Because God is saying to them the most essential and wonderful truth. So when we shared in chapter 15, the vine and the branch, he's helping them understand you cannot enjoy any of the magnificent truth of chapter 14 and thereabouts apart from a relationship to me. Without the relationship to me, it will not work. It's only going to work because I, myself, said the Lord, am doing it. And I'm going to take, you were created different than all other creatures, different than angels. You were created in the image and likeness of who I am. And I have made you so that I could make, to show forth, to make real the wonderful person that I am. I am, said God, the invisible, awesome, infinite God. And I've made it possible to show myself in the person of Jesus Christ, and now I've made it possible to show myself in those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And their assignment is to be able to enjoy my wonderful person in all of its fullness. That's the assignment. As my Father sent me, said the Lord, so send I you. So we're to enjoy the same awesome privileges and assignment that the Lord Jesus had. Only now, we aren't going to go to the cross. It's because of the cross that we can enjoy it. Therefore, we share together, back down to John 7, 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now we share together in the process those, all of these words and the sentences. And in the process, we share together that the Lord Jesus Christ requires a relationship, the vine and the branch. To say it a different way, verse 7, you're going to find, the believing heart is going to find his or her home in God, in the middle of God, like you're in the middle of the room. And God's word, which is in front of you, is going to find its home in your heart. So therefore, here we are looking, God. We have a unique relationship to you, and we have your word having an awesome influence in our life. Because then we know what your will is. We know what you're like. We know how to handle and enjoy your awesome person presence that is different. Now, so therefore we share together in verse 7. I'll read the first part. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask And we shared together last time to understand the word ask, and the way to get that word at this point especially is think of the word desire, a desire of your heart. That's the word ask. It's an act of volition of your will. You're desiring something, your will is desiring something. And you're doing it, it's imperative, you're doing it with you, you're really involved in this. You're really into, I'm God, this is my desire. That's the first part. The next word you want to look at in verse 7 is you'll ask what you will. Now, interesting, the word will involves the same word desire, an act of volition. The will is the will. That's what you choose. All decisions are made with your will. God gave you a free will. Otherwise, you'd be a robot. God gave you a free will to be able to choose, willfully choose to do right as opposed to wrong, as to walk in the light as the darkness. You choose to do so. You have the right to choose. That's the word will. Volition. So the word desire and will is the act, volition, desiring. I desire to do. I desire my will. My whole makeup is to desire to do the will. What is the will? If you ask anything, if you verse 7, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So whatever you desire, with your will, you choose, you want, you desire it, and it'll happen. To make it happen, it'll come to pass. It'll happen. It'll be for real. Now, we shared together that all of those great truths, chapter 14, here and elsewhere, have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you move a mountain, and that can't be. Wrong. It's the failure to understand what we're reading. God is saying in his most awesome and wonderful way that God wants to be God in the believing heart. Like you said, the image and likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So when God looks at humans, he sees himself like in a mirror. If you stand in front of a mirror, what do you see normally? When you stand in front of a mirror, you see yourself. God made you, so when he looks at you, he sees himself, his image and likeness, so that you can understand. So when everyone looks at the Lord Jesus Christ, as you've seen in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So God, what are you going to do? You're taking the church, his body, and showing your wonderful person. That's what it is. That's what it's about. And if we ask anything, God, why? Why is anything true? Why is it? Because it's in the will of God to outwork it all. And God, you're going to do it. And it shall be done. It shall come to pass. The vine and the branch relationship is an absolute essential. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. What good's a branch? We've had them up here. If I had a branch again up here, what good's a branch? A branch is just a branch. That's all. If it isn't attached to the tree, to the vine, it's nothing. It's a dead branch. That's what we read, John 15 and verse 6. Now, and God, what are we going to do? If we ask anything in your name, that if you ask what you will, we choose to do so. We choose to do so as a son. We choose. You have your will, and I have my will. And we all have it. We do what we do. But our will can choose to do God's will. It's up to us. I can choose what I want. I can choose what God wants. Up to me to make a choice. I can choose to honor God. I can choose not to honor God. I can do whatever I wish. I choose. whatever I want to choose at any given moment. Now, having said that a little bit, why? Why do we need to do what, if you ask what you will and it shall be done? Why? Verse 8, herein, in this directly pointing, if you ask anything in my name, it's going to happen. And when it happens, I'm going to be glorified. When it happens, I'm going to be glorified. When the vine and the branch connect, abiding, when they're abiding, it's going to what? It's going to go and produce fruit. If you're abiding, what do you mean abiding? Abiding, you enjoy being attached to the vine. The vine wants what? To outflow through the branch with the sap, with the life, with the flow, with the freedom, with the fullness. It wants to flow out. That involves what? Asking, choosing. I desire to have my abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory and honor. So I want to demonstrate his wonderful person in me in a most sobering, awesome way. I want God to be my God for real. Now hang on to that. So now, and when you come to the end of verse 5, we shared together, without me you can do nothing. So now, in order to capitalize on that, a little different window, go with me please over to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because we need to see it. Herein is my Father glorified. How? When you ask, I'll do it. So things are happening in your life, and God is being glorified. Hang on. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, picking up in verse 6 directly in the light of the context. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our heart. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. To be able to understand God's glorious, glorious person. And where am I going to see that and know that? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's where it's going to happen. And so as I'm looking to God and trusting God and resting and abiding, desiring, that's what I want, desiring my will, I choose to do it. God, I'm looking. And the glory of God, my relationship is going to show up that we're trusting God, looking to God, believing in God, and that relationship's going to show up. You belong to whom? Hang on. Over to chapter 3, verse 18. We all with open face, remember looking in a mirror again? We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the what? The glory of God. Where did we find the glory of God? In the person of Jesus Christ. God is glorious, who changed and are changed into the same image from glory, the same image. That's right, not a different one. God, you're going to be God, and we're going to trust you more. We're going to be more as your son, as your children. We're going to have more identification with your wonderful person. In the same image, underline, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful thing in saving our lives in a most super-duper way. Now, having said that, one other place that will help us, so we have God in us. So when you receive the Lord as your personal Savior, you receive God in Christ. God is glorious. And the glory of God in Christ is understood, and you desire what? To know and honor him. And as you honor him and look to him, and he gives you his life outworked in your little life and mine, work, home, school, play, whatever we do, and we do it as to the glory of God, and we do it as sons in the world, and we do it. And as sons in the world, we do it, and we're being changed, and we belong to whom? We belong to God. In a most wonderful way. And over, if you would please, now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. You would recall that God demonstrates his wonderful person in the tabernacle in Exodus, in the middle of the camp of Israel, and he demonstrates his marvelous glory. And when he does so, they build the tabernacle, and then he goes, Exodus 40, and fills the tabernacle with his what? His glory. So when you look, here they are, here's all 12 tribes way out there. Wow! But there's the glory. But the cloud goes up by day and the fire by night. You can't miss it. That's God's there. Aha! Uh-huh. When Solomon built this temple, 1 Kings chapter 8, what did you do, God, when he was finished? Everyone finished. Here's the wonderful temple of Solomon. And God, you did what? You filled it with your glory. So that all with, and they put thousands of animals in sacrifice. Thousands. Not 100 of them, thousands. It was an awesome occasion. God is among us. God is in us. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Tabernacle, temple. Now here you are, you and I, little old believers. Know you not that you both, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? We didn't do it ourselves. God did it. And you are not your own. You don't belong to you anymore. You think you do, but you don't. Verse 20. For reason, you are bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What are you going to do? You're going to honor the person who lives in your house. Who lives in your house? God does. So everyone that comes to the house, around the house, outside of the house, who's in that house? God is. Who's in their heart? God. That's what's awesome, and people don't want to ever hear that, because that's so impossible, improbable. Ah, but for real. And we don't want to know that. We shared it a minute ago somewhere. Remember, the human heart is unfixable. And that bothers us to the core, doesn't it? There's nothing you can do to ever fix your heart. Nothing. Forever. You can never fix your heart. Ever. And we don't like it. So we're busy coming up with solutions all the time. Got to come up with something. That's our trouble. Now, hang on to that. And allow me to go in the which of God. If you just do that, let me just have an exercise. If you're saved, follow it. If you're not saved, follow it and hope that you can. And you can do it. You can have it. Watch. Over to Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And you will notice, if I go directly, if I can, in verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him, Christ, before any angels were ever created, you were in the mind of God. That's an awesome thing. God knew you already before you were ever born. Before the foundation of the world, that purpose, we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to mark out ahead of time, us Unto what? Unto the adoption. What did you have in mind for believers? To be able to be marked out for adoption. Adoption of children. That's one word. To be placed as sons, literally. To be placed as sons. We did that the other day. Sons. Sons. Full blown blossoming sons. You step through the door and you don't grow up. In that sense, you're treated as a son instantly. Instantly, you're treated as a son. That's an awesome thing. With all the benefits, it took you 5 minutes. And the Spirit of God has said in your heart, Abba, Father. That's if you really get saved. That's what happens. Now, hang on to that. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. It's his will. So, what are we to ask anything? If we ask anything, we volitionally choose to do it. And God, what are we doing? I'm desiring my will to choose your will. Our Lord Jesus Christ, without going back to all that we did in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. He chooses. He's perfect man. He doesn't represent himself. He represents God, God's will. Now, God, what are you doing for us? You save us in the person of Jesus Christ according to the good, end of verse 5, the good pleasure of your will. It's your pleasure to make us sons. Wow. That's an awesome thing. Sliding along, and if I can, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, highly favored is the word, used only one other time of the Virgin Mary. She's highly favored. There's your word. And now it is here in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God, hath made us accepted, highly favored in his Son. Highly favored in his Son. And what are we to do? To the praise of his glory. Wow. Now, God, if you ask anything according to my name, in my will, I'll do it. It'll be done. How am I glorified? When you are exercising your relationship properly as a son, you desire what? The will of the Father. And that's what you want. God's will. Work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. Hurting, not hurting, God's will. So here we are going, verse 6, go over to verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, or we have been made, better to understand it, we have been made an inheritance, it's passive, we have been made an inheritance. Hang on to that. We have been made an inheritance, being predestinated, marked out ahead of time, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So, God, what are you doing? I'm doing it. I want you to will my will. I want you to want what I want. Now, God, you wanted us saved. I did. I wanted you to have a unique relationship to you, and you wanted that? I did. I wanted you to be my inheritance. How so? I'm going to die on the cross. Hebrews chapter 9. When I die on the cross, what? I make it possible for someone to inherit. To inherit what? I died, and I rose again. And I made it possible for them to inherit life. Whose life? Your uncreated life. Yours. Wow. That's what you made it possible. An inheritance. You made us an inheritance. Hang on to that. Sliding down, if I can. Verse 12. That we purpose that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So what's it all about? God's wonderful glory. His wealth, his worth, his weight. All of those words help us with the word glory. The what? The wealth. He's wealthy, 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 wealthy. Zillions of dollars. Wealthy. And weighty, 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 weighty. What weighs as much as 1,000,000 pounds. Boy, does that get your attention. And wealthy, 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 wealthy. Real worth. And here's this diamond, a big diamond. Diamond weighs 10 pounds. I don't know how many carats are in it. A ritzy diamond. Boy, does that get your attention. That's the glory of God. God said, I am glorious. You ought to pay attention. How can you not pay attention? In the light of stars, moons, and we shared that the other day, I said that, in the stars and all of that, 265,000 galaxies that they counted in 2,160 miles across up there in the sky, the moon. 265,000 galaxies. That's what they counted. I don't know how they count them, let alone anything else. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, you're going to go, we're to be to the praise of your glory. Verse 14, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So everything is about God's glory. And as we read and read, it says the same thing. God, you are glorious. It is. I am. So all that you do is glorious. And anything we're involved in involves your glory. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that, so God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make known to glorify Jesus Christ in us. John chapter 16. Now, so there you go, if you can. We're to be to the praise of his glory, the end of verse 14. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, for what? That you might know, understand, perceive, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. God, why on earth did you create us? Why on earth are we here? Why on earth is there sorrow, suffering, and sin? And why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not your inheritance, his inheritance. Now, if you look at yourself in the mirror again, when you get time, take a good look and see how impressive you are. Now, I know that. Don't get caught up in it. And God sees himself, and you are to be his inheritance. Christ died on the cross to get you. It's his inheritance by death. Do you understand? It's his. Now, you say, my wife, my husband, my kids, everything, we got all that going. We do. But, and we get lost in the 7 billion plus people. True. But here we are, little old us, frail vessels of dust. And God, you have claimed us for your house, for your temple, for your glory. We belong to you. Hang on to that now for a minute. Now, and riches of the glory of his inheritance. Wow. And sliding verse 22, so you get the whole context, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And then you don't have to guess what church is, the assembled body of believers. But the church singular, there's only one church, it's his body. They're not 10 bodies, they're not 10, 20, 30, and they're all different. No, they're not. Either you belong to Jesus Christ or you don't. That's all. No questions about it. You can call them Methodist, Congregationalist, Roman Catholic, call them whatever you want. Either you're saved in the system out here or you're not. But the system won't save you. Verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, you're going to provide your wonderful person in the body, for the body, because the body belongs to you. And the body is going to share and give you expression. So here we are on planet Earth, the church, which is his body. How are we supposed to see God? Well, I can look at the stars, look at the everything, creation, which unquestionably demonstrates God, unquestionably. Now, God, how are we going to see you? In the believing heart. That's where I'm going to see. I'm going to show my wonderful resurrected life in the believing heart. A believer. Unbelievers, 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 and there's a believer. They don't know, they don't know, they don't know, and there's a believer. I know my God is, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. God has made me his temple, his body. I belong to him with all my heart. I desire him with all my heart. Now, hang on to all of that. In the light of that, God, all of it, benefits. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with, let's see what that says, A-L-L, is that too hard for you to absorb? Called all. What do you think all means? All spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ. Where is all of it? In Christ. When you received Christ as your Savior, where did all of the benefit go? Into your heart. How much? How much of Christ? All of Christ. How many benefits? So it isn't a question, as we shared earlier somewhere, it isn't a question of giving us a big pile out here to have work from. No. God will meet all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And it's his pile. It's his pile. And he has endless resources to do whatever he wants. So whatever you ask in my name, I'm able to do it. That's what I can do. If it's in my will, hang on to that. That's important. God's going to honor himself. Being God, doing what he's doing in a most wonderful way in your life. Work, home, school, sweat, fall down, bloody nose, be crippled, whatever. I don't know. But I know whatever state we're in, we're going to look to God and he's going to be glorified. Now, therefore, all blessing. That's right. Now over to one other place, Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, may I pick up, please, in thought. You know what? I'm just going to pick up a little verb, ask, and you can know right off where I'm going. Chapter 3, may I go to verse 19. We know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We read that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 23. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I've got to ask. Whatever you ask in my name, knowing Isaiah 55, my thoughts and my ways are what? Higher than the heavens. So don't tell me how to think or what to think. I will do wonderful things. You ask him. You desire it with your heart. And you come to me with your will. That's what I want. And I'm going to do it. What are you going to do? I'm going to glorify myself in your life. In the easy, the hard, the much, the little, I'm plain old going to do it. They can't ask better than that. But you didn't do anything. Just laying in bed. Ah, laying in bed to the glory of God. Yeah. I'm going to trust you, God. Abiding like the branch. Branch doesn't work at it just abides. Now, so above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God, here's this awesome relationship we have. Over to Romans and chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, the thought in verse, picking up where we were, verse 15. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, which we looked at last time, and here we just mentioned it in Ephesians. Adoption, adopted to be placed as a son. You have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as a son. And because you're a son, what are you going to do? You're going to cry, Father. If you're a real son, don't you say, Father? I didn't say when my father was alive. I didn't say, hey, you. Hey, you. I didn't do that to my father. He's my father. He was my dad. He was dad. He was just an ordinary human being like all of us. That's all. He was just dad, my father. I couldn't have said that to the guy next door. He would have shot me. No. I had to say it to the one person who was legitimately my father. God is my father. Wow, because you've been adopted as a son in full privilege. Hang on. Therefore, verse 60, the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That God confirms it. God himself, we read it in Ephesians 1:14. Verse 17, and children, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together. That's right. Christ in you. Co-laborers. Desiring. Vine and the branch. The vine, the branch. When you look at the branch, you see the vine. When you look at the vine, you see the branch. When you look at the tree, you see the branches. When you look at God, you see him. That's what you do. Therefore, in verse 17, and both joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. It's impossible to be separate. We're part of him. And, verse 18, for I reckon, calculate, compute, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. So you say, but boy, you don't look glorious. No, none of us look very glorious. And the older we get, the less glorious we look. I think that's true. What can I tell you? You know. Wow. God, what are we doing? God, you see us. You see us in a most wonderful way, and we are heirs. We don't look like much, but we're yours. We're your inheritance, and we've been adopted as sons. Not only are we sons, that's why we say, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. Why wouldn't you do it? If you're honoring the Father, isn't the Father going to do it? Sure he is. Then trust him. Jumping ahead, not too much ahead. Go back a chapter, to chapter 7 of Romans. And let me point out something, if I can. Romans chapter 7. And you will notice, if you're saved and looking for God's will, if you ask anything in my name, in my will, I'm going to do it. Wow, that's what I'm going to do. You can count on it. That's because God's going to do what he's going to do. So when we come to chapter 7, Paul had to go through a whole period of time, 3 years, whatever it was, years. He had to go through what an exercise to learn what? Like Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, up in the out there by his lonesome, up there keeping a few sheep, to be educated, to get out of him all the self stuff in us, so that we can be teachable. That's why the Lord says when you get saved, you become as what? Little what? Little children. Why little children? Because you can help children. You don't help adults that are too stubborn and stupid. They're there. They don't want anything. Little kids do. Little kids, you can teach them. And if they think wrong, then they fix it. Because they're ready to fix anything. Correct it. Learn it. So therefore, verse 18, for I know, said Paul, in my exercise, that in me, that is in my flesh, my body in which I live, dwelleth no good thing. There isn't any. For to will, there's your little word, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. It isn't that I'm saved, said Paul. I'm a believer, and I want to do right, but you know how much I want to do it? It doesn't happen. And that's frustrating. It's like a dream. I dream this is good. This is good. It doesn't happen. I will it. I wish it. But it doesn't happen. That's right. That's right. That's right. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's why. So you will. It isn't that you don't want good and don't want right and don't want things to come out. It's just you can't make it happen. Your old nature is unfixable. Therefore, the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do, etc. O wretched man, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from this body of death? God, I got an awesome problem in this body. That's right. But, thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. I think it, I want it, I desire. But the flesh, my old nature, is never going to do it. But, chapter 8, verse 2, since we're doing it, chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, F-R-E-E, free from the law of sin and death. How on earth am I going to get rescued? I'm going to look to you, God. How? I'm going to want your will. Now, what right do I have for your will? You've adopted me as a son. Not only that, back over to chapter 8, verse 17, you have made me an heir. An heir. We're your inheritance, but God, we're enjoying your wonderful person and work on Calvary's cross. You have made us an heir. Not only just an heir, walking around, you know, I'm an heir to the king or the queen, whatever, prince or whatever. No, we're heirs. We're joint heirs. Joint heirs, together with his heirship. Now, God, you made us an inheritance, and you made us possible to be connected to you, vine and the branch, joint heirs. That's right. Together. Read the end of verse 17. Verse 17. Glorified together. And the end of verse 18, the glory which is in us. Now, God, you're doing a wonderful thing in our heart if we let you. Not in our work, not in our whatever, it's in our heart. God has to change you. like it read 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Looking in God changes our thinking. And we desire by an act of our will to honor you, God. At work, at home, at school, making a dinner, driving a car, going to work, going to school, whatever you do, God, honor yourself in my little life. As I grow up, as I get old, honor yourself, God. And that's what he does. God, you do that. I do. As we get old, we get old, wow. And God, there's not much left, no. Over, if you would please, I think appropriate. Over to Philippians. All these things, the truths, just keep saying them and doing them, and one day they keep working and producing a wonderful, wonderful results, I should say. Philippians chapter 2, God, I'm going to do chapter 1 first, I have a minute. Philippians chapter 1, may I go to verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun, started, a what? A good work, where? In you, if that's true. He's going to go and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep going till he finishes. Like we shared in Sunday school, you're saved, and you get saved, and God doesn't unsave you, and you get sanctified the instant you get saved, and you never get unsanctified. It's either you're going to enjoy being sanctified and being holy, or you're not, and then you lose out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out what? Your own salvation, not anybody else's, and do so with fear and trembling. It's an exciting, awesome thing. So it isn't dull and boring. I got a boring job. I sit in the same old couch, you know. I watch the same old programs. I watch, you know, I get bored. routine. Yeah, wow. No, God said, why don't you let me work out my wonderful what I'm doing in your life? So when you go to get bored, look to me and enjoy your boredom in a new way. How's that? Enjoy laying in bed in a new way. Different way. To my glory. And to do so, because why can we even attempt this? Whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. Verse 13. For it is God, the reason, it is God which worketh in you, both to will, there's your word, and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to do this. So I'm either going to cooperate with him or I'm not. God, and I don't have to do it. It isn't up to me to produce anything. It's up to you, God. All I need to do is abide and desire, a consistent desire, an act of my volition, an act of my will. I choose. I may not be able to change anything. I may not be able to fix anything, but I choose the will of God. That's what I do. And at lunchtime, I choose the will of God. Now, don't get too excited because the people won't know what to do with you. But just go and bow your head thankfully and eat your food, whatever. But, God, that's what I want. I desire it. I know my old nature doesn't want it to happen. But, God, you do. And I have the right to choose. I choose you. I choose your will. I desire it. I will it. That's what I want. Honor yourself. And then enjoy your hamburger. You got it? Our Father and God, we thank you. God, help us not to miss out, to be lazy, lax, indifferent. God, we need to be saved, that's for sure. None of this has even come close unless we're saved. So deal with us according to your goodness and your grace. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much for what you do and how you do and when you do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.